All right, good afternoon. So when you came in, each of you should have received a piece of paper with a pencil, okay? If you need either a paper or a pencil or you didn't receive one, just raise your hand and then Barbara will give it to you. So today we're going to interact with God's scripture a little bit differently. Usually we read it on the front of the screen, but the scripture that we're going to hear out of today is on your paper, okay? So we're going to take 10 minutes, and 10 minutes or so, and during this time I want you to, with your pencil, just scribe or just write down these verses from Psalms and just take your time to really meditate. Do it slowly, savor the word. There's a term called lectio divina, meaning you just soak and meditate and just allow the Lord to speak to you through the word. And then for those of you that are more creative, on the bottom, there's a chance for you to draw what the Psalms is saying. And even if you don't feel like you're artistic, it's okay, no one's gonna look at it, all right? So I encourage you to interact with scripture by taking some time to just scribe it and then draw, okay? So let's take 10 minutes to do that. We'll play some music in the background and to pause there. This is okay if you didn't finish. But let's stand and let's read this together. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen. You can have a seat. And if you feel confident, why don't you show the person next to you the picture that you drew? Does anybody see a very good picture that they want to show? Maybe some hidden artists in this room. All right, so this afternoon, I'm going to be preaching out of Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And I think it's always good that we approach God's word in a fresh way. Sometimes, you know, it can get really routine, but I encourage you, always find fresh ways that you can keep God's word alive. And so we're going to be actually interacting with these six verses in a variety of different ways this afternoon. And so I have the same verses on the slide, so maybe, Kelvin, you can pull it up. And this is from the Amplified version. Amplified, basically, it takes one word and then it just gives you the multiple definitions of it. So sometimes I like reading Amplified because I read a verse like, oh, what does that mean? And then I go to Amplified and it gives several descriptions for one word. And it's like, okay, I get a better idea. So let's read this. Actually, it's only two verses, but we'll read it together. So read everything within the parentheses too, okay? All right, let's read it. One, two, three. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. So you look at these two verses, and you realize that there is a contrast, right? It's a contrast between two types of people. So what's the first type of person? The righteous, right? And then who's the other? The wicked. Good. So according to these six verses, who are the righteous? Okay. So the righteous are those who do not walk and live in ungodly counsel. They do not walk in the path of sinners. And they do not sit in the seat of mockers. And they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on the law constantly. Who are the wicked? The wicked are the ungodly. The wicked, that's redundant. The scornful, the disobedient, living without God, and those living outside God's will. Okay? So let's look at that first point. The righteous do not walk and live in ungodly counsel. So let me ask you this question. Where do you get your advice from? Where do you get your advice from? When you have questions and you're not sure what to do, where do you usually turn to? Why are you laughing, Eric? Oh, Google. Google search. Wow. I didn't think about that one. That's a good one. Maybe for some of you, you talk to friends, right? You talk to people that you're close with. Maybe for some of you, you read books. How many of you love reading books? Me, not so much, right? Maybe, you know, oh, the New York Times bestseller just came out. All right. I read that, maybe, okay? But so there's a lot of different places where we can get advice from. But then let me ask you a second question. How do you know what you're reading or hearing is true? How do you know, like, you go to your friend, you ask them for their advice. How do you know that that's true or that's good? When you search things on Google, how do you know that it's reliable? When you're reading a New York Times bestseller, how do you know that everything that this person is saying is right? You don't, right? So what it's saying in today's Psalms is that God's word and his law is the truest truth. It's the truest truth, meaning that you can always rely on the word of God. Amen. You can, every time you go into scripture, every time God says something, you can trust that it's 100% true and trustworthy. In the midst of an over-communicated society and culture that we live in, we can know that every time I open God's word, every time I read his word, every time I hear the Father speaking to my most inmost being, every time God speaks, it's true. So the more that you soak in the word of God, the more you know God's heart, and then the more that we can make decisions and live our life in a way that honors him, okay? So the righteous do not walk and live in ungodly counsel. So maybe even for yourselves, just think about it. Okay, you know, some of my friends, one time they told me something and they were completely wrong, right? Or maybe I read this advice and I followed it and, oh, it didn't turn out that good. And so maybe allow the Holy Spirit to bring light and say, okay, what is some of the things that are true and what is things that are not true, okay? And it's not to say I'm not going to talk to people anymore, all right? Or I'm not going to read anything, you know, I'm going to just shut myself out from the world. But you do use discernment, like asking the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, is this true? Is what this person is saying to me, is that of your heart? Or you can always go back to scripture and say, God, but what does your word say? This person is saying this thing about me, but what does your word say? What does Abba Father say? Okay.
The second one is do not walk in the path of sinners. What does it mean to don't walk in the path of sinners? This morning I was reading from Genesis, and it's talking about the story about Abraham and his nephew Lot. And they were Abraham's family was growing and Lot's family was growing, and it was getting so big that they couldn't occupy the same space. And so Abraham said to Lot, they looked at the land, right, and said, okay, Lot, why don't you choose which space you want to settle? And whatever space you choose, I'll choose the other one. So Lot looks at the land and he sees, wow, this side is really green and lush. And so Lot says, I think I'll choose this side. And then Abraham says, okay, I'll take the other side. But there was one thing about the lush land that was a little problematic, that later on in the story, you'll see that it ultimately becomes Lot's family's downfall. Do you know what it is? It was near Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah was two wicked cities, that they were exceedingly sinful. That's what scripture says. Isn't that like for some of us in our lives, you see something, oh, it's so good, but it's near Sodom, it's near Gomorrah. So Lot pitches his tent near Sodom. And he feels the repercussions of that, because later on we read that God's judgment comes on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he actually says, you need to leave the land because I'm going to destroy it. Okay. So how about for you? Are you pitching your tent near Sodom? Sometimes we look at it and say, oh, but it's okay, you know, it's, but there's so many benefits, all right? But we always want to dwell where the Lord is pleased for us to dwell, okay? Wherever God is pleased, or wherever his presence is, that's where we want to be, right? You know, it's like the Psalms. It says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, right? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Do you want to be close to the presence of God? Do you want to be near where God lives? Silicon Valley, South Bay area is filled with a lot of commuters. How many of you are commuters to your work? Like you drive, like you have to drive more than 10, 15 minutes. Okay. How many of you are commuters to this church? Okay. And like maybe over half of us, right? Right. Do you want God to be your neighbor? Do you want to live close to Jesus? Or do you want to live maybe further away, right? So as children of God, as sons and daughters, as Christians, we always want to be living our life close to the presence of God. Okay. And that's not to say that we never enter the dark places. But if God calls you to enter the dark places, go specifically to minister and bring God's light. Sometimes we go into the dark places and it's like, it's okay, I can hang out here, relax, and you know. But if you are going to the dark places, be God's light and minister and bring his light. But don't allow the culture to influence you, to change you, to turn us into Lot or his wife. I remember when I was in college, I was a college freshman and I was joining this college fellowship, and every freshman has a small group. So they put you into small groups, and then they have a junior, which is a third year, lead the small group. And so it's kind of like the older brother that you look up to. So usually, you know, 4 or 5 to 10 freshman guys led by a junior. And so, you know, they're supposed to take you around, you know, if you need a Target run and get something, they'll take you to Target, or, you know, when you're going out to eat, sometimes they'll pay for your meal, right? So one of the small groups, so there's a bunch of freshman guys, small groups, but when I was a freshman, one of the other small groups guys, he said, all right, boys, I'm going to take you to Hooters, teach you how to be a real man. So he took his small group guys to Hooters. I was like, what the heck? It's like, that's not right. And I say, but I was a freshman, so I was like, well, what can I say, right? Okay, don't take your small group to Hooters, all right? Don't pitch your tent near Sodom, right? Don't just, you know what I'm saying? All right. All right. Do not sit in the seat of mockers. Okay, so the righteous do not sit in the seat of mockers. So let me ask you this question. Where do we see mocking today? Where do we see mocking today? In politics, okay. TV. Oh, TV is a big one. You don't have to turn to many channels or wait too long to see some form of mockery, right? Like TV shows, all right? Talk shows especially, right? They, in the beginning, it's all mocking, right? The talk show guy will stand up there, start mocking this, 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 and then the audience will go, ha, 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 ha. They say, you're sitting in the seat of mockers, you know what I mean? Or sometimes it's comedy sketches. You'll have a comedian stand up, and what are they all making jokes about? People, things, you know. It's all mocking, right? For the younger people, there's this thing called roasts. How many of you have heard of it? A roast. Not like a pot, not like a meat roast, but so basically what it is that you have a famous celebrity come and they sit in a seat and then they're surrounded by a whole bunch of other people. And basically what all the other people will do is that they'll roast them. So basically they'll insult them and say, you're doing this and da da da, and they'll make fun of them. And all the time, everybody's laughing. And then the person sitting there is supposed to like take it. And it's like, ha, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you, so basically that's what a roast is. And so as young people, as millennials and the young generation, we like watching that stuff. It's like, oh, I hate Justin Bieber, so I'm gonna watch a Justin Bieber roast, right? And then you're like, ha, ha, ha. But isn't that what it is? Sitting in the seat of mockers, okay? What's some other ways that we see mocking today? Okay, in our speech. Yeah. I think that's a big one. Maybe in our own personal speech, right? We can so easily mock people, make fun of people. In our families, sometimes our family conversations are not the most wholesome, right? And we mock each other. Another one is social media. Man, you only need to log into Facebook to see how many mockers there are on Facebook, right? Have you ever met someone and they look real nice in person, but then you add them on the friend on Facebook and then they just start posting all of these things, like da 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 da, looks like a potty mouth. It's like, whoa, that you're not the type of person that I originally imagined, all right? So, you know, how are you on, if you are on social media, are you a mocker, okay? So I saw this acronym that I thought was really helpful, but it says, basically a poster, and it says, before you speak, think. And so think goes T-H-I-N-K, and each one of them represents a different word. So it says, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And so I said, that's very helpful. So I printed it out and I put it on my bulletin board in my office. So every time I send an email or a text, I'm like, is it true? Is it, you know? So anyway, I think that's ways that we can be mindful. Like, am I sitting in the seat of mockers? And sometimes we read the word and we just kind of skim over it. But it's like, well, let's think about it a little bit deeper, okay? Lastly, the righteous, right? They delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate on the law constantly. They meditate on God's word all the time. So how about you? Do you love God's word? Do you love spending time in God's word? Sometimes we treat the word like fast food, right? Like McDonald's drive-thru. So you drive in, can I get this, this, and this? Okay. And then how many minutes does it take for you to get through the drive-thru? I don't know, like what, 5 minutes? 5, 10 minutes max? And then you get the food, you eat it, and you're on your way. Right? Sometimes it's like that with the word of God, right? It's like, all right, Lord, just give me what I need. Okay, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm good. All right, see you later. And you go through McDonald's one day. The next day you go to McDonald's again, And then McDonald's again and again. And then what happens? You get sick. Get fat. All right? So every time we read God's word, it should be like, all right, take it slow. Savor it. All right? Take your time. In the church in San Jose that I grew up, they taught this thing called time with Abba. And so I was doing it since I was in junior high, so 12 years old. And I didn't really like God's word, to be honest, even though we talked about it all the time. So, you know, you're supposed to do time with Abba. So you're supposed to write down the scripture and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes I just like write it real fast, like because... And the Psalms is usually the easiest, and Proverbs is really short. So you write the Psalms and Proverbs, close my book, and then just get on with my day. And that's how I function for many, many years, from 12 all the way to college, I think. And then there'd be times where, you know, I just wouldn't spend time in God's word, and it'd be on and off, on and off. So, you know, I might be consistent, and then there'd be a month or 2 months or 3 months where I wouldn't open God's word. And then I get back on track and I do it. So it was just kind of scattered and all over the place. And then I remember that it was after college that I was serving at this worship ministry down in Orange County. And so they had a children's worship school. And so they said, hey, do you want to come and volunteer as an adult helper? So I said, okay. So I went to the worship school, and I was just, so there we were sitting in the main room, and I was sitting with the kids, and then one of the ladies was up front, and she was standing here. And so she was sharing with the kids what she had received from the word of God. And she said, so she was talking, said, yeah, when I was reading God's word today, this is what the Lord said to me, said this, this, and this. And I sat there among the kids, and I listened. It's like, wow, God is like really speaking to her. And I don't know why that thought never registered in my head before, but it was like a, I feel like it was a light bulb moment, or maybe the Holy Spirit just illuminated it. And I saw for the first time that this lady is reading God's word and God is speaking to her. And so after that, I said to myself, I said, you know what? I want to try this time with Abba thing again. All right, I just want to spend quality time in God's word. And so from that year on, what was that? That was 2012 or something. I started to really take my time to read God's word. And I think it was around that time that there became a switch. I started to enjoy reading God's word. And it became something that I have to do it, but I want to do it. And so from that point on, I really enjoyed coming in the morning. So I wake up, make a cup of coffee, sit down at the table, open my journal, get out my pen set, open my Bible, and then just write down, kind of like what we were doing today. All right, write down the psalm. Don't have to rush it, and then just highlight and just take my time. And then through those years, the Lord started to speak to me through his word. You know, have you ever read scripture and it's like the verse just jumps out at you? It's like, oh, I felt like that's what God wanted me to read today. So that would happen more and more and more. So, you know, usually now these days when I'm reading God's word, sometimes I'll be writing down something and something will jump out. So I'll just either like highlight it or underline it or whatnot. I say, I think this is what God wants to say to me today. And so anyway, I began to like reading God's word. And that was a breakthrough for me. So I want to encourage you today, if you don't like reading God's word, it's okay. God can change the heart, all right? And just ask the Lord and say, God, I want to delight in your law. God, I want to meditate. I want to enjoy spending time with you, okay? Let's go back to the Psalm 1. And let's read the verse together. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Who is the tree? Who is the tree? You are the tree. Okay, so say to the person next to you, you are the tree. At least you should be the tree, okay? What am I? Okay, you're a tree, but location-wise, what are you? You're planted, right? You're planted. Are you planted? Are you a tree that's running around with the roots? Sometimes you watch those like kid cartoons and the trees are running around. It's really silly, right? No, a tree is planted, right? Has the Lord planted you in your life? Or do you feel like you're running around, always like going here, going there, you know, just always so confused and lost, all right? I think some of our young generation, one of the byproducts is we're very lost. We want to find meaning in our life. So we're going here, we're looking for it. Okay, didn't find it. Go to here, go to this job. Okay, didn't find it. Go here, 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 here. You will we're running around and we're not planted. But the only way we're going to get planted is if the Lord himself plants us, right? Do you want to be planted by the Lord? It's like, ah, I feel like this is where the Lord wants me to be. So allow the Lord to plant you in your life, okay? Okay, where am I? Where are you planted? You're planted by something, right? What is it? Yeah, by the stream of living water. Very interesting. So the tree is not planted in the desert. It's not planted in the forest. It's planted right by the stream of living water. Who or what is the living water? God, right? It also says like the Holy Spirit is like living water, right? Very interesting. So where are you planted? Do you want to be planted far away from God, or do you want to be planted right by the stream of living water? Okay. Yeah. So the tree, you can imagine like where are the roots going towards? Towards the stream of living water, and it's drawing every day from the living water, okay? So are you planted by the stream of living water? Or are you planted by the toxic waste plant? Are you clinging to Jesus every day? The tree's like, I need this water. Are you clinging to Jesus? Are you drawing near to him? Are you hungry and thirsty for the living water? I think sometimes for us that are Christians, that have been Christians for a long time, sometimes we get a little dried up, right? The roots get thinner, and then we get a little hollow, and then the tree looks a little sick. About a month ago, every Monday morning, I joined this intercession group, and then we just pray the time with Albert, pray the scriptures, and then I went to the meeting, and we just sit in a circle, and we just pray, right? And so I was sitting there, and I was just closing my eyes, and I wasn't thinking about too many things. And as I was closing my eyes, I felt like almost the love of Abba Father started to creep up over me. And it felt like a little feeling at first, but it started increasing more and more and more. And before I knew it, I felt like the love of God was just washing over me. And then I started to cry, and you know, there's tears, and then there's like snot coming down this way. It's like, get a tissue. It's like, don't want to waste the moment. So I just let it, you know. and then at the end, then I got the tissue. But I felt God's love like washing over me. And I was like, I was like, when was the last time that happened? He said, probably a year ago. He said, man, when was the last time I cried in intercession? When was the last time I like just felt his love washing over me? Less often than I would like to admit. How about you? When was the last time you cried in the presence of God? When was the last time you were just on your knees and just like, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I want your presence. That's like the tree planted by streams of living water. It's like, ah, I need it. I need you. I need your presence. I need you, Holy Spirit. Okay. So how? This is a very generic question, but let me answer it. They are tended by the stream of living water. Okay. So the tree is tended by the water. So how are you sustaining yourself in your life? Are you filling yourself with other stuff? Entertainment, people, you know, are you being tended by God himself? Okay. And then lastly, when, okay? You will bear fruit in the right season. Okay. Some of us feel like, man, I'm a tree that has gone 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and there's no fruit at all. You're fruitless, right? But it says that when we are near God, we will bear fruit. So sometimes you're like, why do I not feel like I'm getting fruit? But then maybe ask, like, am I being tended by God? So we don't have to overcomplicate things. Just be a tree, all right? Just be the tree that's planted by Jesus. Just press into Jesus, okay? And then there's another scripture that I never recognized before, but it's very similar, and it comes from Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. So let's read this together. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When I was reading Jeremiah, I was like, oh, it's a little bit different. It's actually saying in the year of drought, it never fails to bear fruit. And it does not fear when heat comes. It's like, that's next level. That's like saying even in hardship, even in difficulty, you are still bearing fruit. Do you want to be that type of tree? I want to, right? We want to be, so that's the invitation that God is giving us. Like, do you want to be like fruitful even in the difficulty? Draw near to Jesus, right? We can just skip to the bullet points. So in summary, it says, so I will send out my roots to the river of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the living water. Actually, let's read all these together and just declare it over yourself. Okay, start with number one. I will send out my roots to the river of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the living water. I will be strong in the heat and drought in the year of hardship. I will never fail to bear fruit, even in difficult seasons. I put my confidence and trust in the Lord. Amen. This is the invitation that God is giving us today, is that even in difficulties, that we can draw near to him. So today is January, what, 6th? This is the very first Sunday service of New Vine for the beginning of this year. So looking towards 2019, I want you to reflect on a couple things, okay? How are you? Are you living righteously or wickedly? Are you living according to scripture? Okay. Where are you in your life right now? Are you planted by the Lord or are you or away from the stream? Okay. Are you bearing fruit even in the drought and storm? Are you putting your confidence in the Lord? So this year, I want to invite us that as we look towards this year, that we would commit to loving the Lord's law and meditating on it. Okay? If you've never had a regular time spending time in God's word, maybe today is the day to start trying again. If you need help, come talk with me. I'll show you how to do it together, okay? May you ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse out all the wickedness, conscious or unconscious, and just come with a clean slate before the Lord and confess all your sins and just dedicate the whole year to him for 2019. Okay? I think this is a good way to start the year, that we just say, God, I'm just coming clean. Lord, this year, I just want to draw near to you. Right? God does not put too much expectation. Notice how much the tree is doing. The tree is not really doing that much, right? It's just planted, but it's God that tends to it. And I think that's what God wants to do with our lives. He's not asking you to perform, do so much. He just says, draw near to me. Just cling to Jesus. And he's the one that's going to give you the water. He's the one that's going to allow you to bear fruit in your life. So as a response, I want to just invite us to stand. And I'm just going to give some time for us to really reflect. Maybe even Kelvin, you can go back to that previous slide where it's asking the questions. So I want you to give some time to just allow the Lord to speak to you. Are there any ways that we're planted by Sodom? Is there any ways that we're planted away from the stream of living water? When's the last time you really asked the Holy Spirit to just come and fill you? Do you feel like it's fruitless in your life right now? Do you feel like you've been putting your trust and confidence in other things besides God? Just take a moment and just ask the Lord, God, what do I need to lay down today? Today we're going to come before the Lord and we're just going to confess. We're going to lay down any blockage, any ways that you feel like you've been stuck, any disobedience, any wickedness. We're just going to come before the Lord and just lay it down in confession. And so I'm going to invite this time that you can all open your mouth and we pray together. And whatever you need to lay before the Lord, just say it. And if together with the confession, if you want to make a prayer and say, God, I just want to commit myself to you this year, you can also pray that as well. But let's just take some time to pray. So confess, commit, whatever it is, okay? So let's go ahead. Just open your mouth and we begin to pray. But yeah, Lord, I want to confess, God, of not living completely righteously, Lord, before you. God, forgive me, God, for all the lack of integrity. God, forgive me, God, for treating your scripture and your word casually, Lord. So, Lord, I want to also confess, God, that I don't always want to plant myself towards you. I don't always be drawing from the stream of living water. And Lord, I just lay down all fruitlessness, Lord, in my life. I lay down all the fruitlessness in the work that I do. God, and I ask that you'd forgive me for trying to bear fruit outside of being tended by you. Forgive me, Lord, for putting all my own trust and confidence in myself and my ability to perform, God, and I did not place it in you. So, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. Forgive me, God. I want to be planted by you.
Yeah, go ahead and also pray. Just make a commitment or just if it is the desire, say, God, I want to be planted by you. I want to be, tended by your stream. Whatever expression within your own words, just go ahead and pray and ask the Lord. Say, I want to be committed to you. Okay, let's pray together.
Now, Lord, I just say today, Lord, that I want to be tended by your living water. Holy Spirit, I say that I need you every single day. I need your presence, Lord. I want to be close to you. I want to be close to your presence, Lord. So, Lord, I commit not to performing in my own strength and my own ability, but just to cling to Jesus, to be near to you, Lord. To draw near to you, Lord. I want to be close to you, Lord, close to the presence of the Lord this whole year, Lord.
So, Lord, today we say that you have heard our confession, and today the Lord hears the things that you've laid before him. So the blood of Jesus covers you and forgives you for all of the sin, any spirit of rebellion, spirit of self-dependency, spirit of mocking or criticism. And so I bless you in Jesus' name that
God hears the confession and he covers you. And so I bless each one of us that we will be like the tree and that we will be close to God and that we're not going to draw from our own strength, but we're going to draw our strength from the Holy Spirit that will fill us every single day.